This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, hour number two. What's happening on this Tuesday around the country? Tiki and Tierney Show, CBS Sports Radio. And we're coming to you from our studios, the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, Rocket can. Rocket can. Teague, I actually got this tweet earlier, and like I actually want to write back, but I'm not. Because I'd probably write back. We got this tweet. I'd write back the wrong thing. And he wrote, "Kuz hitting clutch game winning daggers like Kobe." Are you kidding me?
No.
I mean, that is just blasphemous. Great shot by Kuzma, but I mean, come on.
Yeah, don't write back.
No, of course I'm not. Huge win, though. Nice win for the Lakers. Basketball, the bubble, it's been going on. I mean, we've been watching every night, and it's been quality play. And, you know, sometimes defense a little optional, but the players have adjusted to the bubble. And so far, so good. And, Teague, we're joined by one of the classy players in the league for sure. 3-time world champion. He's got a finals MVP on his resume. He's an all-team, all-defensive team a couple times. Andre Iguodala is with us here on the show. He's a member of the Heat now. Andre, what's happening, buddy? How you doing today?
I'm good. I appreciate the introduction with the adjectives to describe me. So.
Well, it's true, man. I mean, listen.
Kind words.
Andre, we're not making it up. You earned it all, man. You know?
No, you did. I'll heard the word classy. I'll add that to the resume, though.
Gotcha.
Well, I mean, when you got a Catalyst fund that you started, and that, I think it's awesome, investing in blacks and Latinos, Latinx is the word they use now, and female founders. I think it's amazing. You are classy, and some of the things that you've been doing on the business side, you're an author as well, the sixth man, which is the first question I want to ask you, Andre, because people have forgotten. You spent most of your early part of your career in Philly, and you were a starter. And then you come to Golden State, you start that first season at Golden State, and then it's like, all right, you're on the bench. And it made you, in a sense, who you are in a lot of ways. Tell us about that transition, and because it's not easy to do, I imagine, for anybody, but you did it with expert execution. Tell us about that.
Well, yeah, it was interesting. You always say, you know, things happen for a reason and things happen the way they're supposed to happen. I was just having a conversation with Justin Thomas, mm-hmm. Who's a good buddy of mine. Obviously, he's just the PGA Championships last week, and I'm a big golfer. So we were talking about in terms of, you know, all you have to do is just put the work in. You know, if you worked as hard as you could or not, and then just let everything else, you know, come about how they're supposed to. Everything happens the way it's supposed to happen. And similar to that situation, I was actually playing really well going to that training camp. I had a few procedures that summer to get the body right, and the body was feeling really good. So I came in with some high expectations for myself as well as the team. So to hear that is a little different. As you know, growing up and playing youth sports, like, you know, yep. It was like the starters were scrubs and everything that goes into, you know, how you perform or how you're perceived on the team and how you're perceived from other teams as well. You know, you're the starter, you're the number one guy. So that still kind of plays a role in sports, I think. I think it's changing a little bit, though, you know, just embracing, you know, especially the guys that have success in their roles and learning how to embrace that. And, you know, hopefully I've been a part of that, the changing of, you know, that perception. But the things that it worked out because Steve and I, we had the same college coach. And I feel like college can make or break your career. You know, Michael Jordan always talks about Dean Smith and the things that he did for his career. Lute Olson had a huge impact on a lot of his athletes because of how he taught the game. And our transition was a lot smoother, I feel like, than a lot of other players going from college to the NBA. And we have a pretty good track record of guys in the Lute Olson that go pro. So Steve and I spoke the same language in terms of basketball. So when he approached me about it, he actually said, you know, you've been playing like this and you're playing really well, and you know, it's unfortunate, but we're a better team when you come off the bench. And it's hard to argue with someone you see basketball the same way as they do, and you speak the same language, same verbiage, same principles, all those things. So it was a tough transition to get used to, but when things start clicking and you want things to start clicking around the playoffs and you know, deep runs, and then I just, you know, you're just embracing it once you get that newfound rhythm. And it's actually helped extend my career.
That's great. And listen, you're right. Lute Olson is one of the greats. It takes, and this is erroneous on the part of many. List some of the great coaches the past 30 years. And, of course, you get Boeheim and you get Jim Calhoun, three-time champ. And eventually you'll get to Lute Olson. But I feel like, Andre, to your point, that Lute Olson is a little overlooked, not by me, not by us, but maybe the fringe college basketball fan. Arizona's been a powerhouse for 30 years, man. I mean, it's amazing. So I'm happy that you brought him up. But I want to get your thoughts on this. We talk about the bubble, right? And we wonder, you know, what is it like? Just take us through a day in the bubble. Andre Iguodala wakes up. What is it like in the bubble, man? What's going on?
I think with the bubble, you have to really schedule out your days. And if you do that, you'll make the most of your days and you'll find yourself productive because you have a lot of downtime. So you can find yourself staring at the wall a little bit. And, you know, you go through this monotonous routine of going from the room, a couple hours into the gym, a couple hours, come back to the room, a couple hours, then go eat, a couple hours, and then come back. And you're just trying to figure out different things to do. And you don't want to do the same things over and over. So you got to be engaged. You got to keep your mind engaged. Mm-hmm. But your time is almost like a maze of time because every day is different. Like one day practice could be at 2. One day practice could be at 10. One day practice could be at 5. And then you have testing times every day, you know, your COVID test. Even though it's pretty quick, like that test is like 4 minutes tops. It could be right in the middle of you wanting to do something or do an activity. So I've learned how to map out my days and be as productive as possible. So the first thing I do in the morning is you do your test. You know, you have to take your own temperature. Then you do your oxygen levels test. And guys, I feel like it's routine now. So, you know, we haven't missed too many. But you can't get access to food or you can't get through the front door to your practice or you can't get through a certain area if you don't do all that. So guys have to go back to your room, so you got to make that a habit. And then once you're there, you're grabbing breakfast and probably going to practice for, you know, depending on the team, from anywhere from an hour to 2.5 hours. And then from there, you come back. Try to figure out when your testing time is, because then that tells you, okay, what can I do for the next 2 hours?
Yeah.
I've been golfing. So this morning I played golf. Like we've been getting out there early, so.
Who are you playing with? Teammates, coaches? Who are you playing with, Andre?
So we got a couple coaches that play. One of our coaches is like, he played on a mini tour. He's like a shooting guru. He's really good. Like he's like a Steph Curry type, handsy type guy. You know, and he can do a lot of different things well, like throwing a football or shooting a basketball or throwing darts and like weird stuff like that. He's
good with. Yeah.
So he's like a +2 handicap, which is crazy.
Nice.
He saw 59 this morning, actually.
What? Come on.
Wait, 59?
Yeah, 50? Yeah, I've seen him do it.
Wait.
Wow.
59. Yeah.
Oh, so I said 15. Like, 6'9". Yeah. 6'9". 6'9".
Gotcha.
Still pretty sick.
He says this on the regular. we get our golf. Like this morning, I got our crew now is Kelly Olenek, Duncan Robinson, when he's not afraid to leave his room because he's afraid to like – go outside. He's like a hypochondriac or something. Whatever that phobia of going outside is. And then Solomon Hill, I got him into golf. Like, he's hooked now. He just started playing like a week ago, and now he wants to play every day.
Yeah.
So that's our crew. So that gives us like 4 hours to be outside to breathe, laugh, joke. Yeah. And then I always I was joking Kelly Ovenick, like, yo, we got a crazy connection on the court. Like, I'm always finding him wherever he's at. And he's like, how'd you find me? I'm like, I don't know, bro. I think it's from us playing golf. So we use that as our joke. And then from there, I got a couple books. I finished 1.5 books since I've been here. I'm on this, like, I'm on a book that's, like, for college students. It's like a research book. It's really good. Manny Marble, who did Malcolm X. I'm reading his book right now, and I have to be locked in to read that. And then I got my tech stuff. So, yeah, my days are pretty filled. Like,
yeah, yeah, because you're a businessman, man. You're like operating a business while you're going on, while you're there. You mentioned something real, you know, briefly. You said it in passing, but are there a lot of guys that are nervous, like hypochondriac nervous because of the coronavirus? Even though there's no positive test. We've heard this for the last couple of weeks. No positive tests in the NBA bubble. Is that widespread, the nervousness?
That's a really good question. I think the NBA's done a really good job, and the union, Michelle Roberts and Adam, they've done a really good job of calming everyone's nerves and just making sure we follow the protocols, make sure we have our mask, keeping our hands clean. I mean, you'll see masks stationed everywhere, like every checkpoint, if you forget your mask. Like, I have, like, 40 masks in my room. If I forget one, I can just walk, like, 10 steps, and there's one right there, and then you got the machines for sanitation. Or the sanitizers. Then you have the little bottles of hand sanitizers everywhere. Everyone is just doing their part. And like, when I walk out of my room and I forget my mask, the first person I see has a mask on. So it's like, oh, and then I'll take, you know, step back, make sure I have my mask. So everyone's doing a really good job of that. So I think that's calming a lot of the people or any of the fears down, because everyone's just being responsible with how they're supposed to move around.
So we're talking to Andre Iguodala, three-time world champ, won the finals MVP as well back in 2015. He's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. You know, we have had so many segments here, Andre, trying to determine, and we both love him, but he's been in the news a lot, like Jimmy Butler. You know, like, what? And to me, and I want you to obviously take the reins here, but to me, like, Jimmy Butler would be a great teammate if you're all about basketball and you have a heart and you're doing the right thing. If you're soft or you're looking for shortcuts, then Jimmy Butler's the worst kind of teammate because he's going to light you up. You've been around the game a long time. You've got that old school mentality like Jimmy. What did you learn about him that you didn't know? And really, what kind of teammate is he with the young kids?
Jimmy and I have connected, like, right away. I think it's just he has an appreciation for guys who are have a high basketball IQ and, you know, apply it on the court. Like, you got some people that have high IQs but, you know, can't execute it. You know, those are, like, the really good coaches. Maybe they're not as athletic or they don't have good reaction times, but they know the game. I think he just has a really high respect for guys who – understand, like, I know how to put myself in a position and I won't get credit for it or no one will see it. Like, I know, okay, be right here and I'm going to help my teammate get wide open. Or I know to be right here, although my man may be open, but I'm taking the ball out the hands of, you know, the number one guy on the team.
Yeah.
And, you know, just, like, subtle things like that. And he Jimmy's hilarious because anytime he subs in for me, he's like, appreciate you, bro. And I'll always laugh because, you know, he just really appreciates the guys who understand their roles, embraces their roles, and just steps up to the challenges. And for the young guys, he wants them to understand that, you know, there's basketball and it can make you look good, but there's also winning plays. And those some winning plays may not look as special or may not make you look good, but, you know, it's helping the team win. And I think that's kind of like that balance that we're trying to figure out with new age basketball. You know, I'm a purist at heart, you know, with the game of basketball. It's almost like golf. And they say, are you hitting the ball too far? You know, are guys still shaping shots? Or can guys hit, you know, 4 and 5 irons into long par fours, but the ball's going so far, so now it's a pitching wedge. So, you know, for me on the basketball court, I'm like, are we getting away from, you know, the pure art of the game? You know, it's like, it's the business side, and then there's the, you know, the actual sport. And that applies to any sport. And do you change the rules to tilt the scales too much one way or the other? you know, for financial gain, and you have to be wary of that. So that's where I'm at, and I think he really appreciates that. So he and I, see, you know, we see eye to eye on a lot of things on the basketball.
That's a good explanation, because I think he gets misunderstood a lot of times. You know, the other thing, Andre, that's going on in the bubble is the social justice reckoning that's happening in the country, Black Lives Matter. And guys had the option to put their keep their name on the jersey or put a saying on. I know you've talked extensively about this in your book, The Sixth Man, a memoir. It's obviously about basketball, but it's also these other things that are important to you. But I look at the back of your jersey, and it says group economics. Explain what your message is, given this movement that's going on.
Yeah, well, it was just a great piece wrote by, I think his name is Michael Pena from GQ, and I was able to read it today. And he spoke to three guys in the league that are wearing that message, and Anthony Tolliver, Jabari Parker, and myself. And it came from David West, who's been very influential to his teammates. And those are, you know, at the end of the day, and Tiki, you can attest to this, you know, those relationships that you build with your teammates, you know, those are the things you take most away from your time as a professional athlete.
Yep.
And David West just played a huge role in the education of an African-American, and, you know, things that can really help us change the narrative and change our place and how we're seen in this country. And he kept speaking on group economics in one meeting, and no one had a clue what he was saying. It almost turned into a joke, because we had no idea what he was saying. But when I started breaking it down, started reading, doing my homework, and then we became teammates and just start, you know, asking them questions. You know, I had a great understanding of essentially, you know, African-Americans have the least recycled dollar out of all cultures and communities in the world. And you look at some of these other communities, and it's sad, because when we speak about other communities, it's been frowned upon recently, you know, as it's like, you know, we're anti that community, but we're actually showing respect. You know, a few superstars have spoken about how they handle their business and how they want to handle their business the same way they do. And, you know, look at it like backlash, but, you know, we're just saying, like, that's the model. They figured it out. And what it is when we support ourselves and we support our own businesses, because we're the least funded, you know, that's a part of the Catalyst Fund under the Comcast Ventures umbrella, investing in, you know, African-Americans, Latinx, and female entrepreneurs, is when we invest in ourselves and build up our businesses, that in turn, the taxes that come from that, you know, we buy homes in our communities, we own land in our communities, it raises the value. And when you raise the value, you know, the land is worth more, and then the same tax dollars go into, you know, education systems and, you know, other resources that the community can benefit from. All those things go into play. So for me, it was, you know, raising that awareness and make people say, what is that? You know, and just helping them see outside the box and see that's the bigger issue. Or that's the bigger theme. And we talk about America, you talk about capitalism, the system, you know, which the book I'm reading right now is How Capitalism Underdeveloped Black America. He's speaking on, you know, capitalism and racism go hand in hand, because, you know, we built this country based on tobacco, cotton, and sugar, and how we've been exploited from our human labor and haven't been properly paid for throughout history from that, and that's kind of how our community has always been lagging behind. And every other issue, or I shouldn't say issue, every other message that's on jerseys, I feel like group economics will directly is the base of all those things to be, whether you use the word conquered or solving all those issues, group economics can be the equation to get to taking care of all these things.
That's a great one. Hey, listen, we're late. Oh, that's the only reason we have to wrap. Don't really want to, because you're a really interesting guy. We already knew that, because you've been around for a long time. Everybody knows Andre Iguodala is a class act. I'll reiterate what I said at the start of the interview, but the name of the book is The Sixth Man, a memoir. A lot of championships, finals MVP, still hanging on, still has those guns, too. He's not small in the arm department. He's got those guns. Andre, good having you on, man. Really enjoyed the conversation. Thank you.
Yeah, that was great.
Appreciate it. Big shout-out to my wife, who's, like, all the wives who are at home with the kids, they're, like, in the bubble as well. So
great point.
Appreciate
that is an awesome point.
You better
point,
say
Andre.
That for mama. There you
That's
go.
A great point.
For sure.
Thank you, Andre.
I love this guy. This guy's great. Thank you, Andre. That was really good. We are very late, so we got a break, but we'll get into the you know, really the battle for the 8 seed in the West. I mean, we really thought this would be fun, but it's a hell of a race. And we'll get to that coming up next, right? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
When you need auto parts fast, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. You can choose to have your parts delivered right to your front door with free shipping on most orders over $35, or order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to you curbside. You can even have your battery tested for free while you're there. And if your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery that fits your vehicle at a guaranteed low price. Like SuperStart batteries, exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Designed to meet the electrical demands of today's vehicles. Get dependable power and performance from a SuperStart battery for your car, truck, motorcycle, lawnmower, boat, and more. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free lines, 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies, and that's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. All right, good stuff with Andre Iguodala. Next segment, this will be a good chat as well. Shannon Furman's going to join us, and she is one of the directors for HBO's Hard Knocks, which drops tonight. I love it. Tiki lived it, so he doesn't love it as much as I, understandably. Like, I love it. I've watched everyone. Some have been kind of lame, and I've said that over the years. But for the most part, it's a great primer for the season. Get you jacked up, get you juiced up. And there's two of them this year with the Rams and the Chargers, and Shannon is doing the Chargers. So she'll join us coming up next there. So sandwich the interviews around some NBA talk right now, Teak. I mean, nobody really thought. We know why it was designed this way to get Zion Williamson into the mix here, but plans have been spoiled, and I wouldn't mind watching Devin Booker play a few more nights.
He is fun, man, because he's unafraid to take a shot. And the one that he hit last night that was from, I mean, what was that, 40 feet? I mean, it was ridiculous. He's almost at half court. Jacked it up, and what made it even better, if you missed it, go find it. When he first shot it, I was like, dude, he airballed that, because it looked like he missed it so bad. But he launched it so high, and it came straight down. Yeah. It barely touched the net. And so you see the net rippling just a little bit. But Devin Booker's fun, and they're 6-0 so far. They haven't lost yet in the bubble. And when you combine him and some of the other young talent on this team, I'm not saying they're a threat to win the championship, but they are going to be a tough out and fun, because they're thriving in this environment. And maybe it is because they're so young and they don't have anything like Andre Iguodala was talking about his wife. Like, he doesn't have any of that stuff. So a lot of these young kids don't have that stuff to worry about.
Mm-hmm. I've been raving about Devin Booker for years. Tika will back that up. I have loved Devin Booker for minute one. Loved him at Kentucky. He looked like he was 15 years old when he was at Kentucky.
He still looks young, man.
He's 23.
I know, but I'm telling you, he looks young.
That's what I'm saying. I agree. He's only 23. You know, the one thing, though, you know, not to sidetrack the conversation, because it's about how spirited the Suns are playing and their seemingly limitless future with the proper tweak or two. You know, the shot that Teak referenced, the 40-footer, and we see Trae Young do this nightly, and Steph Curry does it as well. It's not good for basketball.
No, I don't think so.
It's not good for basketball.
Well, I mean, this was more desperation. Like, the clock was down. He just had to shoot it. But I agree with you. Like, using that as a high percentage shot. What was the Patrick Ewing conversation when
that shot?
Yeah, it was like a kid came down and he was like a one-legged falling away, you know, off balance shot. Patrick Ewing screaming at him, do you practice that shot? You know, why do you think it's going to go in? Have you practiced it? And the answer is no. I mean, who the hell practices a 40-footer? Now, maybe Steph Curry does.
Trae Young does.
And maybe Trae Young does, but Devin Booker or some of these other younger, influential basketball players probably don't, but they're still going to start taking them if they see the highlights making the rounds, as this one did. Because I think the only reason it did, though, is because he's playing so great in these six games, and they're undefeated, and they're making noise. And so you highlight everything.
The only thing I worry about, like, so Steph Curry undeniably motivated an entire generation of snipers.
Yeah.
Undeniably.
Even LeBron takes the 35-footer every now and then.
He
does. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I feel like it's a little different for him because he's 6'8 and so strong. Like, I feel like these guards that, you know, like, you're 6'1 and you're 180, or you're 6'2 and you're, you know, 190. Not that that's incredibly small compared to the average human, but that's a long ways to flick, to naturally flick a bat. At some point, it becomes more of a chuck. Not a chuck, but the mechanics get a little compromised. But my point is, so Steph Curry, you know, just lit this fire from deep for the next generation. And Devin Booker's young enough. He was part of that generation, right? Yeah. So, as is Trae Young. And now what happens residually? Now there's all the 70-year-olds who, they walk into a gym. They don't do a layup. They don't do a free throw. They don't they don't even stretch. The first thing they do is, I'm telling like the little kids, they jack up a three from their hip. It's an air ball. And then they start practice. And now the Trae Youngs and the Bookers, et cetera, will now spawn this whole new wave of shooters. What is the NBA going to look like in 10 years?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a good thing.
No, I don't think it is. I mean, we were in the Slack channel, we were talking about the Nets, who started basically a G League team today because all of their starters are – LeVert didn't play, Joe Harris didn't play. I mean, nobody played. And so you look at their roster, and they beat the Orlando Magic, and, you know, pretty soundly, too. Watched most of that game. They were up by 20. I think they won by
– You were watching that game?
Yeah, because it was just on in the background.
Wow.
And so they won by, like – they were up by 20, but they won by, like, 8 or 9 or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And you go look at the roster, like, who? Huh? What? You know, my buddy, my dude from UVA, Justin – I'm forgetting his last name right now.
Anderson.
Yeah, Justin Anderson took 12 three-pointers.
No.
But that's my best your point, BT.
It's too 12
three-pointers. And he missed all of them. He was 0 for 12. But I was watching that game, and it was just like, all right, jacked up shot. You know, pass it around the perimeter a couple of times, jacked up shot. And yeah, it's just not fundamental basketball. And it's interesting because that's what Andre Iguodala, in a sense, was talking about.
That's why I brought it back up.
Right?
Yeah.
The fundamentals of the game ultimately have to control the game. And when you get like when you get rogue, or you think you can be rogue, because I made that shot a couple of times in practice. Yeah, nothing else is working. You know, the pick and rolls hasn't worked. I can't get it down in the post. Yeah, I'm just going to shoot. Right? It's just a bad shot. And if you take enough of those bad shots, you're not winning basketball games.
I'm with you. 2 years as we break here. In 2 years. Suns, if they manage this properly, I mean, could they be vying for something meaningful in the West? I think they can be. They have to get a lot more, but they got some pieces.
Yeah, I think so. I think they can be. Because, you know, give Booker till he's, you know, 27, let's say.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean? You get a couple more pieces and Ayton becomes more of a force and, you know, better of a professional. Not that he's not a good professional now, but you know what I mean? Just more seasoned. He gets it. I absolutely think that they can get there. And the question is, right now, they're the 9 seed. They're tied with Memphis Grizzlies with 33 wins. And so there's going to be a play-in game. And who's best seeded to win that play-in game? Phoenix, the way that they've been playing, if
they're
stay
hot. Yeah.
I can see them, you know, ousting the existing 8th seed Grizzlies and getting into the postseason.
And they've got competition for, you know, young ascending teams, and one of them, which is Memphis Grizzlies with Ja Morant, Jackson.
Yep.
Obviously, the Pelicans with Zion. I mean, it's not like they're the only young team that's interesting, but they are playing. They're balling out, no doubt. Good to see. It's been a while since we've seen that. That's good. All right, coming up after Bob's update, Shannon Furman, Hard Knocks is back. And it's back tonight at 10 Eastern on HBO. She is the director for the Chargers, one director for each team. So we'll chat with her the different challenges and what we can expect from the cameras of HBO's Hard Knocks beginning tonight. And we'll get that after Bob Huesler's update, which is coming at you right now. Here's Bobby. All right, get ready to dig in for 9 straight hours of nonstop Europa League action. Teak is all over it. He's tuned in as CBS Sports Network relives all the quarterfinal matchups beginning tonight at 6:30 Eastern, 3:30 Pacific, only on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports, also your home for Tiki and Tierney. Hopefully everybody's doing well on this Tuesday around the country. CBS Sports Radio, it's back. the music that just galvanizes football fans across the country. It's the first little primer. It's the first little sticking of the toe in the football pool. And we're there with Hard Knocks, which really brings to life what these guys go through and just how unforgiving the business of football is, how callous it could be, how obviously hard it is to play. And we're joined by an Emmy-winning director. She's actually on the Chargers side, so this year is incredibly unique because there's obviously two, and each one will have a different director. Her name is Shannon Furman, and she's nice enough to give us some time before the debut with us here on Tiki and Tierney. Hey, Shannon, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. How about you guys?
Good.
We are good. I can't decide if I want to hit you with the hard question first or the fun one about how this came about. I guess I'll start light. How did this all come about? Two teams is unique. I think it's fun because they're, I use this in quotes, battling for L.A. In a sense. Mm-hmm. But how did this come about with two teams this year?
You know, we were going to do two teams before the pandemic was even a thing. This was kind of set a while ago. Both teams had interest just because of the new stadium and getting more fans on board and stuff this year. So before we even knew what COVID was, we all kind of knew we were going to be heading to Los Angeles this year. It turned out to definitely be a blessing in disguise with the situation we're facing right now. Definitely helps us because we have no games, as you guys know. So it's definitely going to be a nice change of pace since we don't have the games to bring to you guys. But yeah, it was going to be this no matter what.
Yeah, well, that's good to know because I think that it's exciting either way. Now the hard question. You've obviously been filming, and the first episode is tonight. And so we're going to see what we always see with Hard Knocks. But, you know, inside the – it's not a bubble, but inside the workings of these two NFL teams, you with the Chargers, have you had indication that the season's at risk? You know what I mean? Like, you probably privy to things that we're not. Are you confident that the season's going to be okay, especially after what we're seeing in college football?
Yeah, the crazy thing is like, when I'm working on Hard Knocks, I am in such a bubble. And it's, like, all I know is what is happening with the Chargers. And we all kind of, like, we almost don't want to talk about it, like, how well things are going here. Because I feel like if I say something, I'm going to jinx it.
Yeah.
But it feels really good right now, like what we're dealing with here, you know. Everything, like as far as the team goes, has been going well. As far as, like, the testing coming back, like our crew, I don't even want to say it.
Okay.
I don't want to say what I want to say to you guys. Yeah, yeah.
Nobody has tested positive. We have been over everything good. I'll say it for you.
Hey, listen.
Hey, athletes aren't the only ones who are superstitious. Directors are as well, who follow athletes. I get, don't cave, Shannon. I got you.
So it's crazy because it's like a lot of pressure. We hear, like, people, like our bosses and stuff will be like, oh my God, like, congratulations on not testing positive. Yeah, yeah. Like, the weirdest thing to get congratulated for.
It is a weird time. That is for sure. And we get it tonight, the first episode, 10 Eastern, HBO. I have long been as strong a proponent for the show, just a huge advocate for all the years I've been doing this. I love it. Now, granted, Shannon, certain years have been much better than others. There's been a few lame ones without identifying which ones. Certain ones kind of wrote themselves. Like, you put Rex Ryan in front of a camera, it's going to be gold. But I'm curious. Like, you want to capture the essence of the plight, but what else are you predisposed to try to chase down? Like, what's most interesting to you that you really try to get that lens on?
I mean, like, my favorite thing to do is, and I sometimes think we don't do enough of it on Hard Knocks, is I want to tell people something about these guys that they see in a helmet and they don't see their faces that they don't know. So, like, the thing I'm most proud of that I've done as a part of Hard Knocks was telling Darren Waller's story last year.
It was a good one.
It was something, the Raiders tight end.
Sure.
We knew about his story coming in, so I made it a point to, like, introduce myself to Darren pretty early on. It was something that was important to me just because of personal things in my own life that I really wanted to get his story of addiction out there. But that's really hard to do on Hard Knocks. I mean, we told Mike Evans' story during the Tampa season, but it wasn't until show 5. It kind of took me all summer to earn Mike's trust to tell something that deep, but he did eventually. And so, like, I wish we could have told it in show three and let people really start to root for Mike even more than they probably did. So anytime we get a chance to show where guys come from and what they've overcome, I think that that's really special, because it is hard to do on this show because it's very in the moment, everything we do. So to be able to go back and do something, and like last year, the producer at home who found those clips of John Harbaugh talking to Darren during Ravens training camp, I mean, that was insane. Like, I didn't know we had that footage when I was pursuing Darren's story.
Yeah.
So that just took it to another level. So honestly, like, all the years I've been doing it, like, that's probably the thing I'm most proud of.
Shannon, how many times do you have something where you go back and you go back to the editing room and you look at, you know, your peers on the team, you say, wow, I mean, this is incredible, but we can't show this. We just cannot put this out there. For whatever reason, it would really compromise somebody to the point where there's no getting back that reputation. How many times has that happened?
I can't think of a specific situation right now. We're obviously very careful of injuries. Like, we don't disclose injuries on this show if they haven't already been out there. We don't feel that that's our job. We'll do it. Like, so that was a sensitive thing with Antonio Brown and the foot situation last year. Mm-hmm. Like, we kind of knew what was happening there, but it wasn't disclosed. So at the respect of the player and the team, we have to wait till like something like that happens. But I mean, I would say it doesn't happen all that often. Teams, when they sign up for this show, they kind of know what they're getting into, and they want to be transparent. And that's a really big thing with the Chargers this year, is they said like they're doing the show and they want it to be good and they want to be transparent. So oftentimes, like, the things that we can't use are things that are like sort of uninteresting. It's like really insider football stuff that like my mom or somebody watching would never even like pick up on, like play calling and cadence and stuff. So that's the biggest thing teams like don't want us to use.
Yeah. Okay. Now, and then it becomes a competitive disadvantage when, you know, some a competitor is listening in, and when they hear it, they know. You know, tell us about, you know, Justin Herbert. I don't know if you've got any raw footage on him yet, or I think we lost her. But there's some things I want to ask her about. Justin Herbert is one. Joey Bosa, who just got massively paid. And Anthony Lynn, who I think is one of the really good head coaches in the National Football League. And he was dealt a really difficult set of circumstances, BT, right? Moving from, you know, San Diego to now Los Angeles. You're playing in this little tiny stadium. And by the way, you're going to share a stadium with the Rams, who were just in the Super Bowl.
Like, and your quarterback's 40.
Exactly.
You know, going back to last year.
Yeah, Lord, your quarterback's 40, and you have no prospect for someone else. I know that you dropped Shannon, and we were just talking about some of the things that interest us about the Chargers. But tell us, you know, Justin Herbert, like, we know him from afar. We're East Coast, so maybe there's a media bias towards the West Coast teams. But I really like him. And I want to believe that he's going to be the guy. Can you tell if he has it yet?
That's funny that you guys asked that, because like, we were like 10 minutes into the first walkthrough, and I texted my assistant director, who played quarterback in college, and I was like, you're going to make fun of me, but my very ridiculously early prediction is that this kid's going to be good. Hmm. And he's like, what are you basing this off of?
Yeah, that's what I would ask.
It was really like his demeanor, like the way he talks to his teammates, talks to the other coaches, just the way he's like carried himself even since we met him. We were able to do some like Zoom calls with some of the guys, since like normally in June we'd be like shooting the open and we'd get to meet some people ahead of time, and like we couldn't do any of that. So we did do some Zoom calls with guys. Justin was one of those people. He told us that he never had HBO growing up, so he's seen clips from the show, but he hasn't seen like a whole show at one time. So it was just like literally in those first couple of minutes, just seeing how he spoke to his coaches and how he interacted with his teammates, that I was like, I just like him. I feel like he's a quarterback.
Yeah. And I'm sure Charger fans dig hearing that. That's Shannon Furman, who's by the way, is it 6 Emmys? What's the count? 7 Emmys? What are we up to here, Shannon? You lost count?
I think I'm at 7, and hopefully it'll be 8 tonight. We have the sports Emmys are actually.
Oh, that's
tonight.
Right. That's right. It's a virtual sports Emmys. That's right. It's tonight.
What a big night. So you can get number 8. You got the debut, 10 Eastern on HBO.
Good
you
luck, know, what, by the way.
Yeah, for sure. Good luck. I think that one of the – it's probably the most poignant aspect of HBO is when guys get – of Hard Knocks is when guys get cut. What is it like being in the room, you know, watching somebody's dream die, sometimes temporarily, but sometimes permanently? That the heaviness in the room, because it comes through the TV screen, what does it feel like as you guys are shooting that and you see it in real time?
I mean, it's awful. Like, we do not enjoy it. It usually goes from, like, it's a 24-hour period in a normal year where you're going from, like, the highest of highs for these guys because you're in the fourth preseason game where a lot of them are getting playing time and doing well. I mean, the year we did Cleveland, like, the roller coaster of emotion from, like, all of our long shot characters, like, scoring touchdowns, playing
well,
and then getting cut within 10 hours was awful.
Yeah.
Like, and some of them were very unexpected. Like, I mean, sometimes we have an idea of what's happening. Every year is a little different, honestly, with that, like how much information we're given and what we know going into that day. So we definitely had some unexpected ones that year. So it's pretty awful. I will say, since I've been on location, I started being the assistant director. Houston was my first year, and I was the AD for 3 years, and I've been directing the past 3 years. Almost everyone that has been cut has at least been given another chance that we've followed. And we like to show that too. Like, if another guy gets called and we're still filming, we'll get there and we'll get it in. So it happens before like Tuesday at noon, we'll get it into the show. So I think there's only one guy, and this is the tight end in Cleveland, Devin Cajuste, who he used us just as much as we used him for anything, because I'm pretty sure he has a like gemstone business now. And he's like,
wait, Shannon, that was the guy, he was really tight with his dad, right? Was that the player?
Yes.
I like that guy. I felt badly for him.
Yeah, but she's saying he turned it into like a good business.
No, I know, but I connected to him as a character is what I'm saying.
All right, Shannon, you know this better than anyone. We have a minute left. So tell us what we could expect tonight on season or episode one. I forget what even season it is. This guy's been doing this for so long. Episode one of L.A. football, Chargers, and obviously the Rams.
I think you're going to get a great look at both head coaches, probably some things you haven't seen before. It's a very different show than what you've seen, where the access is really good. I mean, we have much smaller crews because of how many people are allowed to be around the players. But you'll get to see a look at how America's trying to go back to work right now. Honestly, like it's the NFL doing it, but it's probably things that all of us need to start adapting to and figuring out over the next year or so. So that's what we're kind of telling everybody, is it's a really up close look at going back to work in this kind of situation.
Well, listen, there were just certain things I expected to be entertained with: Sopranos, Curb, and Hard Knocks is on that very long list. So we have high expectations. Good luck with the Emmys. Good luck with the season. Really nice chatting. Thank you, Shannon.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Shannon.
You got it. She just seems really cool and very good at her job, by the way.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Here's a question that we've kind of kicked around a little bit, but I think based on the sequence of events today, we need to probe a little bit more deeply into. Can college football work in a bubble or even a modified bubble? That's next. Third hour, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.